ahead, light shine. Okay, we're in the miracles of Mark, and Mark is a very fast-moving gospel, and he goes from one narrative to another, one story to another. But the miracles kind of jump out at you, and I was reading through Mark a year or so ago, and I said, I want to do a series on the miracles in Mark, and I did that. Now, I used to post my sermons on a website that I had for sermons, and then they got to having problems, and they kind of shut that down on me. We can't do that anymore. But Fish taught me that there's a simple document that's free. I like free stuff. Called Google Docs, so that's what I use. Now the only thing about it, I don't know if it's public or not, but it's my notepad, and it doesn't have a great directory, and I've just got a bunch of sermons in there, so to find them I have to go through there and scroll and look for them, and somehow I've misplaced a couple. I don't know whether I did scratch notes on these sermons or not, but when I went looking through, I realized that I didn't have them. And so last week, we just got on over. When I realized that, it was not time to prepare or re-prepare. So we're going to go backward tonight to Mark chapter 4, verse 35, and then won't be next week. I guess the week after. We get to go to chapter 5 and the demoniac and Jesus healing him. And I love that story. And tonight we're going to be looking at the storm. Jesus calms the storm. Mark 4:35, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they're actually doing as he tells them to do. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although some of the boats followed. So some of the crowds trying to follow, but soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat and it began to be filled with water. I missed a line there. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on the cushion. The disciples woke him up shouting, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? And when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silence, be still. And suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. And then he asked them, they asked him one question, don't you care? And he asked them too, why are you afraid? And do you still have no faith? And the disciples were absolutely terrified. So they were afraid of the storm, but now they're more afraid. Who is this man, they ask each other, that even the wind and the waves obey him? Now, before I pray, let me say that the miracles in Mark verify the deity of Christ. That's what this miracle's about. The disciples, they're believing in him and accepting the fact that he's the Messiah. But I don't think until this event they have really grasped that he's God. And they got God in the boat with them. Amen? That's an awesome thought, isn't it? Having God in the boat. All right, let's pray together. Father, thank you for this day, for all your blessings. Lord, you know we love your word. We love the gospel of Mark. We love these stories about Jesus and doing things that we can't do. Doing things that no man can do. And Lord, fixing problems that we can't fix. And so Lord, we're excited about this story. We know there's a lot of truth here. We won't get to all of them. We can't get to all of them. It's impossible that we could understand the depth of this story. But Lord, we'll scratch the surface if you're willing. And by your grace, we'll share some thoughts. And I pray, God, you'll bless it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. After a long day of teaching and preaching, and Jesus much younger than me, but after a long day of teaching and preaching to hard-hearted people, Jesus is totally exhausted. And so he tells his disciples to get into the boat and they're going to go to the other side, meaning Gadara, which is the Gentile side, the West Bank. This was the quickest way for Jesus to get out of Jewish territory. And already Jerusalem has sent a delegation to watch Jesus. They're dogging his every step. And so you know there are times when Jesus needs some rest and he needs to retreat. And the quickest way to get some rest is to get in a boat and just go over to the East Bank, because they're not going to go there. Gentiles inhabit that part of the country, and these religious Jews, the Gentiles, were unclean. They're not going to get around them. They had great contempt for them. And so Jesus didn't have to worry about them following him there. And it made it, I think that's one reason he set his headquarters up in Capernaum. He could travel by foot a day or two and be in Gentile territory north, but he could get in a boat and just in very short time, maybe minutes, he could find retreat in Gentile territory. Now, as stated in verse 36, Jesus and his disciples get in the boat and they leave a huge crowd behind. Now, Jesus didn't have any trouble drawing crowds, but they were attracted to his miracles. And as far as understanding his message, they didn't score very high on that. Verse 37 tells us that a fierce storm came up suddenly. Now, the King James says a windstorm arose. The NIV says a furious squall. New American Standard says a fierce gale. It was a bad storm. Not typical, because the disciples are sailors, most of them. They're fishermen. And they fished at night. So they're not, it's not that they're afraid to be on the Sea of Galilee at night. It's not, they've been in storms before, because these storms would happen quickly. The Jordan River coming down from Mount Hermon is going to be right down below the East Bank, and it's a big old cliff, about 200 feet high, just pure stone. And so you got this little river valley. Jordan, not big, but it created a tunnel, and then that wind, when it would get to the opening there at Galilee, because it's inside a bowl, it's surrounded by mountains, it would just come in and create this swirl effect, this eddy effect, and these storms could just pop up in a hurry. So they've been in storms before. It wasn't that they'd never been in a storm, but this one was really bad. They were really afraid. They didn't think they were going to make it. They thought they were going to drown. The disciples are upset. They're afraid. They're terrified, but they're upset about two things. First of all, the storm has upset them. And we understand that. But secondly, they're a little bit upset that Jesus is asleep. He's back there in the boat, his head's on a cushion, and he is sound asleep. And that's got them upset too. And they interpret his inactivity to mean that he didn't care what was happening to him. And so he was sound asleep, and I don't know if they shook him or not, but they raised their voices. They were very loud, and they woke him up with this question, "Don't you care that we're about to drown?" And Jesus just got up, and you know, the paintings have him standing on the bow of the boat. I don't know if that's what he did or not, but he says, "Silence, be still." The King James says, "Peace, be still." I like that. NIV says, "Quiet." Holman says, "Silence." The NASB says, "Hush." It's the same word he used to tell the demons to hush, to be silent. It literally came from the word that means to muzzle it. Put a muzzle on it. Be quiet. Some of the modern translation even have "shut up." But be silent. And suddenly, just like that, there was perfect calm. And so that really shook those guys up. I mean, they'd seen storms. They'd seen bad storms. They'd never had seen this. A guy standing in a boat and speak to the elements, speak to the wind, the waves, and say, "Peace, be still." You know, I've told a story before about standing on that roof of that house on Craves Road, trying to put a piece of polyethyl on a roof that was leaking, and along came a gale, a wind, and man, it's blowing that plastic everywhere. And I tried speaking to the elements, and it didn't work. Another gale came by and like to blew me off the roof. I hadn't tried that since. So Jesus stood up and he spoke to the elements, and they obeyed him immediately. So there's no doubt in their mind. One commentator trying to explain away the miracle says that Jesus told them the storm will get quiet in a few moments. Well, that's not how it happened. He stood up and said, "Peace, be still. Be quiet. Hush. Put a muzzle on it." And there was perfect calm. And so they're sitting there literally in shock. Two or three lessons I won't share with you from the story. Won't take me but a minute to share them. Number one, life is filled with storms. There are no stormless seas. I don't care who you are. I don't care how obedient you are to Christ. These guys were doing exactly what Jesus told them to do when they got in the boat. There are going to be storms. And these storms can arise quickly. One minute, all is well, and in a flash, all is Hades. I mean, it can get bad quickly. Now, having Jesus in the boat does not mean that we're not going to face storms or hard times. He's not a good luck charm, you know. Having him in the boat, having Jesus in your life, doesn't mean they're not going to be difficult times. The disciples were doing what he told them. He told them to get in the boat. So he literally led them into this storm. Because he's God. He knew it was going to be a storm. So he literally led them out there. And you say, well, why in the world would Jesus lead his disciples into a storm? Glad you asked. To teach them. See, life is filled with storms. Remember that. And the purpose, Jesus' purpose, is not to save us from the storms. It's not to make our life easy. His purpose is to teach us through the storm. And what he's teaching them and what he's teaching us, that's why he carried the Israelites out in the wilderness, was to teach them, to get them alone one-on-one. He's teaching us to trust him. He's teaching us to trust him, put our faith in him. He's teaching us to not focus on circumstance. And some of us live that way. Every day we're worried about the wind and the waves. And I got one finger pointing at you and I got three pointing at me in the thumb. We just have that tendency to worry about all this chaos and that's going on in our country. And it's very easy to get focused on all the bad stuff and get our focus off of Jesus. So that's what he wants to teach us. Not to look at the wind, not to look at the waves, but to look at him and trust him in the storm. He's not going to spare us from all the storms, but he wants us to learn to trust him during the storms. Now, if you watch the nightly news, I don't know how you survive. I don't know how you make it. I haven't watched news in 30 or 35 years. I don't think I've missed anything. I mean, you're stronger than me. I couldn't make it if I kept my focus on the wind and the waves. I'd get depressed. I'm easily depressed anyway. I'd get depressed if I kept looking at the wind and the waves and the storm. So my focus, folks, it has to be for my own sanity and salvation, My focus has to be on Jesus. Now, obviously, he carries us into these storms. He leads us into these storms to teach us about him, to teach us about his character and his power. They understood a lot about Jesus, but I don't think they really fully grasped he is God until that night. But they learned. They learned during this storm. And he wants to strengthen our faith. And the disciples had one question, and there's a little bit of a tone of rebuke in their question. Don't you care that we're about to drown? They shouldn't have done that. Jesus came back with two real quick, right after he calmed the storm. He said, why are you guys afraid? What are you afraid of? Why are you fearful? I'm right here in the boat with you. Why are you afraid? And then the second question was, and he didn't say this, you know, I've been with you guys already over a year and you still don't believe, but it's basically that, do you still have no faith? I mean, it's like, guys, what am I going to have to do to teach you to put your faith in me, to trust me in any situation, no matter what it is? And then number three, we learn from this story that Jesus' inactivity doesn't mean that he doesn't care. Now, the humanity in Jesus was exhausted. He had give out, and he needed rest, and he went sound asleep. But that, you know, and they interpret that to mean that he didn't care, but Jesus cared. And the fact that he was inactive at the time of the storm, they thought things were out of control. And they thought this, they were going to drown. But there's an old song in the old Green Broadman book that says this: no sea can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean, of earth and sky. I mean, he created the sea, folks. It's not the sea's not going to swallow it. Amen. They were fine, but they didn't think so at the time. Now later on they realized how foolish they were. I mean, he ain't going down, folks. It's just the way it is. Jesus, the boat he's in, is not going down. And this is the thing we have to just, I have to just refocus on daily. It may look like God's not in control. It may look like he's inactive right now, but he is sovereign and he's in absolute control. And there's no need for us to panic. What we need to do is focus on him. He's got, as Carol Bennett says, she loves to say this, said, Brother Jack, God's got it. He's got it. Well, he does. He has it. Everything's under control. Now, Jesus stills the storm, and these guys are witnesses to it. And then according to Scripture there in verse 41, the disciples had a greater fear. After he did that, they were more afraid of him than they were the storm. Now, it's a different kind of fear. The second fear is awe, A-W-E. But it's kind of a fear that just struck them. And they're not speechless because they look around at each other and say, who is this guy that speaks to the wind wave? And they obey him. What it was, they saw, I think, for the first time, the deity of Christ. They realized for the first time, he is God in the flesh. We have God in the boat. And yes, we were foolish to be afraid. And we were foolish to panic. The man is God. And we don't have anything to worry about. Even the wind and the waves obey. Now, folks, every time I go in the pulpit, I'm always praying for God to do something new and fresh and move and speak and do something we can't explain. But there's some things we can't produce. We just can't produce them. I can't. I don't think any preacher can. And one of those is awe, A-W-E. I mean, when you have the kind of moment these guys have, that awesome moment, and you see the deity of Christ, and you realize he's God, it's a time of worship. And I don't think they joined hands and sung a chorus. I think they're probably too frightened to do that. They were just filled with awe, and it's like, wow. Wow. He really is God. He is God. And we need some of them wow moments, don't we? We need some wow worship where we're struck with awe. And it might get quiet. Because if we could see the deity of Christ the way they saw it that night in that storm, we might become mute. We might be as still and as quiet as the seas he commanded to hush. You could probably hear a pin drop if that awe fell upon us, that fell upon them. It's a key part of worship, folks. And I pray for it all the time. In my own personal life, when we meet together, we need that. And boy, I tell you what, if we saw and experienced what they experienced, I think it would totally revive and rejuvenate our worship and our singing and our praise. And I pray for it to happen, amen. And I want to be in on it, amen. All right, let's pray together. Father, thank you for this story. I love this story. I love them all. If they got Jesus in them, I love them. And Lord, I just wish I could have been there that night. There's just something in me that wants to see what those guys saw. And I know it'd scare me to death. And it'd probably leave me speechless. But Father, if we could just see and understand your sovereignty and the fact that Jesus is God and he's with us. He's with us. He's in us. He's in the boat. We can't perish. We can't perish. There's no way. And help us not to be afraid of this world, not to be afraid of the wind or the waves, but help us keep our eye on Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Remember, we don't give formal invitations, but I'm here. Joe David's here if you need.